Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, if you would. And after you find 2 Chronicles 9, go back and get you a piece of paper maybe or something and go find 1 Kings chapter 14 and stick a piece of paper right there, all right? 1 Kings chapter 14, stick you a piece of paper there. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, all right? If you open your Bible to have those two passages, we're going to go back and forth a little bit, but between these two passages of Scripture, and we may go to another place here or there, all right? But just those two places that'll make it easy and convenient for you to find what you need, all right? That's good. All right, we're going to begin reading there in 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. The very last verse, all right, the very last verse. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Now, I told you this morning I'm going to preach to you on the subject of when a fool is in charge. When a fool is in charge. I believe these things definitely happen no matter what the situation is. It can be local, it can be individual, it can be city, it can be nation, it can be the world. But hey, these things are going to take place when a fool is in charge. Now, Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. All right, he was Solomon's son. He had reigned 40 years, and God had blessed him during those 40 years. And he died, and when he died, Rehoboam took the throne, all right? Now, Rehoboam, when he took the throne, was 41 years old, all right? 41 years old. So that means he had lived around Solomon a long time, okay? He had lived around him a long time. The Bible tells us Solomon's the wisest man who ever lived, okay? Wisest man who ever lived, but Rehoboam was a fool. Rehoboam was a fool, but he didn't have to be. He didn't have to be. And by the way, you don't have to be a fool. It's not a requirement, all right? It's not a requirement that you do that. He had available to him the wisdom of his dad. He had available the Proverbs that Solomon had written. They were available. The book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, it was available. Had he wanted to, all right, all of that wisdom was available, but seemingly he absolutely just ignored it, all right? Now, I'll be honest, Solomon didn't set a good example in his later years. The truth is, the wisest man who ever lived played the fool when he got old. Just don't think, hey, well, I'm doing okay while I'm young. Well, it doesn't ensure you're going to finish that way, all right? You need to work hard to finish what you start, all right? But Solomon did kind of go wrong there, but wait a minute. It was Rehoboam. He had the choice. He made his own choices. You and I, we make our own choices. We make our own choices. It's easy for us, and a lot of people today do it. We point it at the environment. We point it, my family. And the reason I'm the way I am and the reason that I do things is because of this or because of that. Look, hey, just get over it, all right? It's not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. Had I have desired it or if I had been dumb enough to do it, I could be a wino today. Now, I've never tasted any alcoholic beverage. Strongest thing I've ever drank is turpenhydrate. And it was a medicinal thing. You could buy it in a drugstore. You can't buy it anymore, all right? And I think one of the reasons you can't is because of the alcohol content in it. But it helped you when you had throat issues. But I've never tasted alcohol. I don't know what beer tastes like. I don't know what wine tastes like or gin or vodka or anything else you can name, a martini, a martini, or anybody. I don't know what any of those taste like. Never have tasted one. Don't want to. But it's because I made a choice. Look, you make choices, and those choices determine how things are going to be, all right? So he can't blame, well, Dad messed up, so I got an excuse. No, you don't. You don't do it. You see, but when a fool's in control, there's problems. There's problems. Take your Bible. Let's there in 2 Chronicles. You're still there. Look in chapter 10, all right? In chapter 10. When Rehoboam took the throne, all right? When Rehoboam took the throne, he had a choice to make. A group of folks led by Jeroboam came to him. And they pled with him. Look, could you ease up a little bit on us? That was the plea. Now, it's in the Bible. I'm not going to take time tonight to read all of it, but it's there in the Word of God. You can read it. They came, that delegation came to Rehoboam, and they said, look, could you kind of ease things up? You know, Dad made it hard, boy, it was hard on us, taxation was very high and everything. Could you just ease up a little bit? And so Rehoboam had a choice, but I want you to see what he decided in verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king bade, saying, come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old man and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto, my father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Now, have you ever stopped and read and think about what you read, all right? Ever thought and think about the arrogance that's evident right there? But here's a guy, you say, what's the problem? Hey, when a fool's in charge, position is confused with power. Position is confused with power. You get the idea. Hey, I got this position. I can do whatever I want to. Hey, Rehoboam looked at the deal. He said, look, I'm the king now, and you come asking something, and the very fact you asked, I guess, as far as he was concerned, was evident. Since you come asking, I've got the right of refusal, and I just remind you, who's king here? It's me. I'm the king, all right? And for some reason, he seemed to think I'm on the throne. I can do whatever I want to do, and it's going to work out, and you don't have a choice. You're just stuck because I'm the king. He said, hey, folks will put up with it. Life will just go right on. Everything will be wonderful. We'll just continue on the way it is, and I'll live in a sumptuous palace. And I'm on the throne. I am the king. You will do what I say as my subjects. And long as you do that, things will be fine. He thought everybody just go for it. What a mistake. What a mistake. Would you just kind of, think about it a little bit. He lost the 10 northern tribes. Now, I remind you, there was only 12 tribes, okay? There was only 12 tribes. He lost the 10 northern tribes. He was left with just two tribes, and the whole nation was split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, all because he thought, I'm in position, I got the power to do whatever I want to do. Listen, that's because a fool's in charge. Fool's in charge. I can do whatever, huh? Hey, he weakened the nation. I want to tell you, it never recovered. Never recovered. Just it never got back because of that one act on his part, thinking that. Now, you say, preacher, I don't have to worry, I don't have any power. Wait a minute, yep. Same thing happens in the lives of people. Remember I told you, it works on an individual level too. I see people today get the idea, I'm a free man. I can do whatever I want to do. Now, I guess I should say, you could say, I'm a free woman, and I can do whatever I want to do. And the world's filled with people like that, I can run my life the way I want to, and I run it that way, and it's just going to turn out good. There's a problem. Now, don't lose your place here, but turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 10. Here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem, and people think, well, I can do what I want to do. I'll run my life. I'll make my decisions. I can do as I please. I'm a free person. I've got the right to do that, and I'm going to exercise my right. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go my way, and it'll be wonderful. Well, the trouble is, here's Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. He said it is not within us to be able to direct our steps. What do you mean, man? I'm educated. I've been to school. I've got some learning. I've got common sense. I've got all of that. Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm glad you got all of that. But boy, when you put self on the throne in your life, you just get ready for a rough ride, okay? Just prepare yourself and say, it's going to be tough. Better hang on. It's going to be a hard life. It's going to be a very hard life. I can't begin to tell you how many people that I could go down the list if I sat down and began to think about folks that I know in my life. They grew up, they were taught right, they knew right, they knew the right thing to do, they knew the right way to live, but they got to that point where at some point in their life they decided, hey, I'm free, I can do what I want to do now. And they have. And boy, it's been in and out of one ditch after another. It's been one calamity after another. One problem after another. Why? Because they decided, I'm going to be on the throne in my life. I'll be in control. I'll be in control. And the truth of the matter is, when they did that, they had a fool in charge, all right? They just had a fool. Now, preacher, you calling me a fool? No. But I'm telling you, it's foolish if you think I'll run the show. It's foolish if you think you can run the show in your life. Oh, what a mistake. But that's Rehoboam. Rehoboam thought, well, I've got the power simply because I have the position. And because I've got this position, the power comes. Wait a minute, he mistook those two things. Hey, now, this is not a political message, but I'm going to put it here. Sometimes I see politicians make the same mistake. Make the same mistake. Well, I've got the position, so I've got the power. No, you don't. No, you don't. There's somebody over you, all right? So number one, you mark it down. When the fool is in charge, position is confused with power. The second thing I want you to see is this. Wrong counsel is going to be elevated. It's going to be elevated. Go back there to where we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 10 just a moment ago, all right? Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse 13 in 2 Chronicles 10. It says, Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men. Now, see, what happened, Jeroboam and his crowd came to him and said, look, could you just lighten the load a little bit? Could you lighten the load? So Rehoboam turned and he went to the counselors, probably some folks that had counseled his dad. Some of the older folks had been around a while, and he sought their counsel, and they gave him their counsel. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the reason Rehoboam went somewhere else is because he didn't like their counsel. Now, I believe that. You say, can you prove it? No, but I believe it. I believe it. I believe he decided, I don't like that counsel. So he went to, so who'd he go to? Well, verse 14 says he answered them after the advice of the young men. Young men. Hey, yep, here he is. He's facing opposition. So Rehoboam went looking for some advice. Good thing to do. Go looking for advice. When you got decisions to make, when you got problems, when you've got troubles, when you're stuck, you say, I'm not really sure what to do, go looking for advice. Go seek some of that, all right? That's fine. He got some advice from older, wiser heads, but he didn't like what they said. So then he turned around and went to his buddies. He went to that younger crowd. He went with them and he got what he wanted to hear and he said, sounds good to me. And he took that advice and I'll tell you, it sank his boat, all right? Man, did it ever make a difference. What a difference, right? As I said, nation never recovered. Never recovered. Why? He took the advice of people didn't have any wisdom. No wisdom. I've always talked to young people and all teenagers. I said, look, you need advice, you need help. Don't go to your friends. Don't go to your friends. Don't go to your peers. Go to somebody that's got a little more wisdom, okay? Go to somebody that's got a little more. Go to somebody that has been through it, okay? Been through it. We as individuals, we need counsel from time to time. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Good thing. That's a wise thing to do. Seek some counsel. Talk to somebody. Just go find somebody that knows a little more about that particular subject than you do. Man, I'll never forget. I had a cousin that he was a cousin by marriage, and he was a singer, and he formed a quartet, and he had a very good quartet at one time, and they toured and, you know, had a lot of dates and everything. And I'll never forget being around him one time. Somebody said, "Man, I can't believe you know you've gone so far." He said, "Well, I just surrounded myself with people who knew more than I did." Well, that's a good thing to do, okay? That's a good thing to do. Surround yourself with people who know a little more than you do. Go find somebody. Look, pick a subject, anything you want to do, all right? Child rearing. Well, listen to Oprah. She's never raised a kid in her life, okay? Never! They don't know anything about it. Why would you listen to somebody like that? Why would you tune in to anybody that's never raised a child in their life? It'd be like going to, some of y'all are way too young, you'll not recognize the name, but going to Zsa Zsa Gabor for marital advice. Now, the older ones in here laughing because they know, man, she's married umpteen times, all right? She went through husbands like a dedicated shopper went through revolving doors, okay? I mean, it was just constant. You don't go to that person and say, "Could you help me with my marriage?" You got to be kidding. I don't know anything. Well, if you want some help, go to somebody that's done it. Go to somebody that's done it. Go to somebody that's raised some kids. If you want child rearing, go to them and seek some counsel from them. They've done a good job, and their kids are grown. They're well raised. They're well serving. They're godly individuals. Find somebody like that. Don't just find anybody else. Obviously, go to the Bible. But the reason you seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. You've got financial problems. Don't go to the person that's had to declare bankruptcy 3 or 4 times. Go to somebody. I've said it many times. I think my dad was a financial genius. And you say, why? He said, did he have a lot of money? Oh, heavens no. But he could make do with less than anybody I ever seen in my life. I mean, it was just amazing how things worked. And our church benefited from that. And years ago, we paid off all the debt. We have no debt. Man, what a blessing that is. And it was God gave him that, I believe, gifted him with that. He had some wisdom about how to handle money, all right? That's the person you seek out. Get you a multitude of counselors. Get you a multitude of counselors. Sometimes we need to hear we're wrong. See, if you're going to have a counselor, you need to have a counselor that doesn't mind telling you, you're wrong. You're wrong. What you're doing is wrong. We don't need to just go, all right? And we need to hear we're wrong. We need to hear we need to change course. Hey, you're headed the wrong way. You need to turn around. You need to turn around. Hey, that's good advice. We need somebody that'll tell us when we're wrong. When a fool is in charge, he'll only look to hear from those that agree with him. Now, I'm just looking for somebody that'll put their stamp of approval on what I'm planning to do. I've told people before, don't wait when you're going to get married. Don't wait until you've picked the one out, you've got the wedding plan, and then pray, Lord, this one's okay with you, right? That's the wrong way to do it. That's the wrong way to do it. Man, don't make decisions like that. Don't go to God and say, God, would you approve of what I've done, please? You know, just don't do it. Hey, that's like people come to a preacher and say, preacher, it's the will of God for me to do this. What do you think? Huh? Wait a minute, you just told me that you believe it's the will of God. Well, where'd you get that idea? If it's the will of God, why are you asking me? Why are you asking me? But we need to be careful, all right? We need to learn to seek out the ones that will tell us the truth. Tell us the truth. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to a doctor that just says, don't worry about it. You're okay. You've gained, 100 pounds in the last 6 months. Okay, don't worry about it. You're okay. Hey, you've lost 100 pounds in the last 6 months, and you don't know why you've lost it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You're losing weight. Well, Doc, I have this pain when I do this. Well, don't do that. No, that's not the doctor you want, is it? I go to the doctor. I want a doctor who's going to tell me the truth. I want him to look me in the eye and say, this is what's wrong. This is what you need to take care of. Now, I can ignore what he says if I want to, but I still want him to tell me the truth. I want him to tell me the truth. I'll be honest with you. I want a preacher that'll tell me the truth. I like to hear preachers get up and preach this book. Doesn't matter what's popular. I don't want to know what's true, all right? Hey, when a fool is in charge, then wrong counsel is always going to be elevated. I'm going to go looking for the one that will tell me what I want to hear instead of what I need to hear. Third thing I want you to see, all right? If a fool's in charge, the real enemy won't be recognized. You won't recognize the real enemy. Now, I told you we'd be going back to 1 Kings 14, so would you go back there, all right? 1 Kings chapter 14, and look, if you will, in verse 30. Now, I told you, Rehoboam took the throne. Jeroboam led a group to talk with him, and Rehoboam's reaction was, hey, buddy, you think you didn't like it under Dad? You really ain't going to like it under me. So what happened? Verse 30 of 1 Kings 14, and there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. Now, at one point, you can read your Bible, and at one point, Rehoboam got together and thought, we're going to organize an army, and we're going to go after that northern kingdom. We're going to invade them, go after them. And God said, no, you aren't. You're not going to war against your brethren. But Rehoboam, man, he built great defense in cities up there along the border. So he said, that's our enemy. That's where we're focused. And he put his heart and his mind into that, fortified those cities on the border with what became known as Israel, and the southern kingdom became known as Judah. And so they put that cities up there. But the only problem is their real enemy wasn't the northern kingdom. The real enemy wasn't Israel. It was Egypt. Egypt. That was the real enemy. Hey, guess what happened? While he's pointing north and facing that group that wasn't the real enemy, here comes Egypt. Egypt came in, they conquered them, they took away the treasures out of the house of the Lord, and the king's house also took those treasures out, and really what they did is they made Judah basically their servants, and they paid tribute to Egypt. Why? Because his focus was the wrong direction. Because he didn't recognize the real enemy. Listen, my friend, when you try to take control in your own life, it's real easy for you to overlook and not see the real enemy that we face. The real enemy we face is not a former friend that has done you wrong. That's not the real enemy. Hey, it's not a disgruntled neighbor that you're arguing with. It's not that person. That's not the real enemy, all right? I've mentioned to you, I think years ago, we lived in Georgia. We had a neighbor. The church was right here. We lived in a house right here, and we had a neighbor right here. Lady lived there, wonderful, kind, sweet lady, but she had a drunk for a son. And he'd get drunk, and man, there's no telling what he would do, but the good thing about it, he would always call us and tell us what he's fixing to do. I mean, he would. He'd call and tell us what to do. He called one night and said, I'm going to chop down your TV antenna. Now, he really wasn't chopping down the TV antenna. He was chopping down the guy wire, and it did extend into their yard, okay? And we had permission, and that lady had given permission. Had been there for years, but he was drunk. So he come down and chopped it down. We had to move the TV antenna to the other side of the house. We got so much better reception when we moved the antenna. over there. It was a blessing from God, all right? But a lot better reception. But, I mean, hey, what was wrong with him? Hey, disgruntled neighbor. Can I tell you this? He wasn't the enemy. That wasn't the enemy. Wasn't him. It's not that. It's not some fickle family member you have. You know, you go to the family reunion and you're always afraid we're going to offend so-and-so. And they're going to get mad and they're going to, you know, rant and rave and make a big scene and everything. Hey, I want to tell you, that fickle family member, that's not your real enemy. If you're on the outs with a brother or sister, aunt or uncle or parents, that's not your real enemy. Not at all. Hey, maybe you say, well, it's just everybody's against me. Well, something's wrong with you, okay? Hey, listen, that's not the real enemy. Folks, the real enemy you and I need to be concerned about is the devil. That's the real enemy. The Bible said, your adversary, the devil. That's our enemy. That is our enemy. You can count on it. Now, we build fences, you know, to keep away that disgruntled neighbor. We cut off and you know, block the phone call of the family member. And we think, that's the enemy. That's not the enemy. The enemy is the old devil. He's on the prowl all the time. He's seeking to discourage, to defeat, to deflate, to debilitate, and to devour you all the time, every day, and he's after you. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. When everything is wonderful and you're on the mountaintop and the blessings seem to be flowing continually, look out for that enemy. Look out for that enemy. If you're in the valley, suffering through hard times, and you look around and said it's his fault or her fault, wait a minute, you better look for the real enemy. You better look for that real enemy. Because of him, the Bible says we're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. Vigilant, eyes open all the time. We're to be careful. Remember how many times the Bible said, take heed? We're to be careful. Why? We got an enemy. We got an enemy. You can't relax. You can't let down the guard. Why? He's there. He will always be there. He will never relent. He will never give up. He'll never quit. And you're never safe. I don't care how long you've lived successfully, faithfully as a child of God. The enemy's still there. He's still there. Oh my, we need to be so careful. But when the fool's in charge, the real enemy won't be recognized. Won't be recognized. All right. Hey, when you try to take control of your life, it's real easy to miss who that real enemy is. Be careful. Be careful. Fourth thing I want you to see, when the fool is in charge. Now, this is so sad. Look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, if you would. I want you to look at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord, and all Israel went with him. Went with him. What happened? He forsook the law of the Lord. Hey, when a fool's in charge, the will of God will go by the way. It'll be gone. Will of God will be forsaken. Rehoboam did okay for a little while. He did okay. Now, not good, but he did okay for just a little while, all right? But we have this witness right here. When he had strengthened himself, once again, he thought position gave him power. And he thought, I've strengthened myself. I don't need to keep doing what God says. I can go my own way. That he forsook the law of the Lord. When the wrong one's in charge, the law of God becomes of no importance. No importance, all right? And man seeks to do his own thing. Just, I want to do my own thing. I don't know, I've had young people tell me, I just want to do my own thing. I'm tired of somebody telling me what to do. I just want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way, want to do my own thing. Hey, well, all right, you're going to have problems, all right? Yep, wrong one's in charge. The law of God becomes of no importance. Man seeks to do his own things. He decides to make decisions based on his feelings and his thoughts with no thought for eternal truth. Eternal truth. Hey, can I just tell you the truth? Now, I'm not blaming the president for all this, so I don't want you to take this that way. But that's what's going on in our country. Because we've forsaken the law of God. Amen. We have absolutely forsaken the law of God. Anything is okay. And I don't just blame President Biden. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't. Now, he's part of it. I don't blame him for all of that. He's got plenty of help, and he's had plenty of help down through the years, all right? And we've just decided to forsake the law of God. Why? Got a fool in charge. Got a fool in charge. I mean, when you decide to do that, that's evidence you got problems. You got problems. So what's the result? All right, just keep your place in 1 Kings. Hope you did. Back to 1 Kings chapter 14, all right? 1 Kings chapter 14. What happens, all right? If we do that and we decide, all right, we're just going to do our own thing and skip the will of God, well, if you will, look there in 1 Kings chapter 14 and look down in verse 22. 1 Kings 14, verse 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. And they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. They were idol worshipers. They worshiped idols. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Hey, you mark it down. That's what happened. Why? Well, we've forsaken the law of God. We're not listening to that. Hey, boy, you got your feelings, you go by your feelings. You go by your feelings. I've just got to put it in. I don't want to. I hear somebody says, well, I don't feel like a man. I feel like I'm a woman. Or a woman that says, I'm not a woman. I just feel like I'm a man. Now, my birth certificate says this, but I don't feel like that's what I am. I really don't care what you feel like, okay? Amen. It's not that. God created a male and female, that's it, too. And it's a done deal, and it's not left up to my feelings, your feelings, or anybody else's. That is the truth. But when you forsake the law of God, then it becomes, well, what do you feel? What do you think? What do you think? Hey, that, you know, I just want to do my thing, and, you know, let's get together. Let's form a group of whatevers, all right? And we're the group that feels this way, and we're going to do it. But let's forsake the eternal truth of the eternal God. Let's forsake His Word, all right? Now, what's the real problem? What's the real problem? 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Here's the real problem. Here's the problem with Rehoboam. Here's the problem. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14. And he did evil because, I circled because in my Bible, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You say, what's the problem? Heart problem. Heart problem. That's what it is. That's it. Hey, that's what manifests itself in our lives today. When the heart's not right, you won't think right. When the heart's not right, your attitude will be wrong. When the heart's not right, your actions will be wrong. We just go down the line, pick a subject, and when your heart's not right, everything's going to be wrong. Why? Because I didn't prepare my heart to seek the Lord. Hey, remember I said he grew up. He was the son of the wisest man in the world. But he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Didn't do it. Hey, you said, what happens to Christians that caused them to put themselves in charge and move the Lord off the throne in their lives. What happens is they had not prepared their heart to seek the Lord. Hadn't prepared the heart. Now listen, I've spent years working with teenagers. I was the youth director here at church for like 19 years. I worked with a ton of teenagers in those 19 years. And there were a lot of teenagers that would come to church, and I could get them to come to church, and oftentimes get them to come faithfully. They would be there, but there came a time in their life they took a left turn. Why? Because I never could get them to prepare their heart to serve the Lord. It was a heart problem. It was a heart problem. I think I've told Brother Dunbar, I said, Brother Dunbar, if you work with teenagers, you'll probably, most people that work with teenagers have more failures than they do successes. Now, I didn't mean everybody's a failure. And it doesn't mean that, you know, what I meant by that is you're not going to have a great number of them that are going to hit the top and become outstanding Christians. You're going to find it to be a difficult work, all right? Because why? Well, you can't get them to prepare their heart to serve the Lord. You say, preacher, why is that so hard? Well, why is it so hard for adults that are well past the teenage years to serve the Lord? Well, the cares of life. Don't give me that. So we didn't prepare our heart to serve the Lord. If you mess up, you sitting here, you've been in church for umpteen years, and the day comes, you get out, you go out, and you get away from God. Why? Well, you didn't prepare your heart enough to serve the Lord. Look, you got to keep after this. Remember, your Bible, my Bible, says the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. And if we don't take care of it, if we don't prepare it, we'll wind up wrong, okay? We'll wind up wrong. And here's Rehoboam. Grew up in the household of the wisest man in the world. Wisest man in the world. He was a fool. He was a fool. He did evil, all right? He forsook the law of the Lord. Why? Because he didn't prepare his heart to serve the Lord. Just didn't do it. Hey, the hardest thing in the world for you and I to do is keep your heart right. Keep your heart right. Because it's little things that come up that mess us up. Little things, they come in. And we get disgruntled. Somebody rubs us a little bit the wrong way. Now, I don't know if you ever had a sore place on your body somewhere and you just couldn't keep your hand off of it, right? You know what? It's not going to get well if you don't leave it alone. Matter of fact, if you'll keep picking at it, it'll get worse. It will get worse. Now, dogs, cats, when they have a problem, they'll lick it. And you wind up having to take your dumb dog to the vet. And they put this cone thing around their head so they can't lick it. All right? Now, there ain't a cone that fits you and me, all right? There's just no cone we can put on there. We get a little irritation, and we don't get it right. And before long, we're out. We're wrong. Just some little thing. Something minor starts it. Boy, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Didn't take care of the heart. Didn't take care of the heart. Okay? Hey, listen, it's got to be taken care of. God helped you with your tongue. Most of us, I believe if I ask you to raise your hand tonight, how many of you ever got in trouble because you said something you shouldn't have said? You opened your mouth when you should have kept it shut. Now, it doesn't mean you got into sin, but you got into a problem because you opened your mouth. I think most everybody here go, I would. Because I've done it a lot. Done it a lot. But look what God did for us. I don't remember who I heard say this first time, but said God did everything he could to help us keep our tongue under control. He put a barrier, two barriers. He put your lips. If you keep them shut, unless you're a good ventriloquist, all right? Unless you're a ventriloquist, you can't talk. Your lips are shut. Then, not only your lips, but your teeth. And as the guy said, he said, if that wasn't enough, he gave it a pool of spit to lay in so it'd stay cool, all right? He tried to do it. But we still can't keep that. Well, you and I, we're not going to keep this heart right if we're not careful. And if we're not careful, a fool's going to be in charge in our life. So what's going to happen? We'll think position's power. I can do whatever I want to do. I can just, hey, whatever I want to do. And not only that, when I go to advice, I'll go find somebody that tells me what I want to hear. I'll go check them out. They'll tell me what I want to hear. And you know what? I'm going to be focused on the enemy, but the enemy I'm going to be focused on is not the real enemy. And the real enemy is going to eat me up and going to defeat me. And the will of God is going to go by the wayside. So you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say keep your heart right. I'm trying to say keep that heart right. Keep it right. Say, how do I do that? One reason is you keep it in the Word of God. Keep it in the Word of God. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Man, and stay in the Word of God. Just stay with it, all right? Not only that, stay in church. Man, church, man, nothing. Going to church helps us so much, you know? It encourages us, keeps us on top. And it, you know, what a wonderful thing, be in the house of God and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. If you are a teacher, listen to yourself when you teach. Listen to yourself when you teach. Well, I just teach kids. Yep, kids got the same kind of heart you do. Listen to what you teach. Listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Pay attention, man. Stay with it. Stay right there. So I don't think I need this right now. File it away. You will in the future. Hang on to it. It'll come up. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to keep your heart right. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful. All right? Be careful about that. Boy, just keep that heart. Keep it hard. Boy, just keep it warm, keep it soft to the touch of God. Man, it's easy sometimes with me, the tears begin to flow. And I've had people say, they start crying and say, preacher, I'm sorry. I said, you ain't got nothing to apologize for. Nothing wrong with tears. Nothing wrong with that at all. Hey, listen, we need to keep that old heart soft, all right? We got to work to keep it prepared to seek the Lord. If we don't, we won't seek Him. We won't seek Him. We won't seek His wisdom. We won't seek His counsel. We won't seek His direction. We won't seek His way. We won't seek His will. We'll think, I got a better plan. Boy, the fool will be in charge. You know what? You may not have a country to rule, but you got a house, got a home you live in. Say, I live by myself. Then you got your own life. Don't wreck it. Don't wreck it because you let a fool get in charge, all right? Don't do that. Would you stand, please, tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? Oh, listen, it's so important. Rehoboam made so many mistakes, did so many things wrong, but he didn't have to. Didn't have to. By the way, you and I, we don't have to either. We can serve God. We can stay right with Him. We can